sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins. And we're going to be talking with our money men, Dean Riddell and Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. Love every time they come on. And if you're listening live this morning through KTOK, we invite you to call in and join the conversation at 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. If you're listening by podcast, we love that you have subscribed and listened. You can listen to this every week through iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, or anywhere that you can find podcasting. If you have any problems discovering that, you can go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on the right edge. It'll say radio. It'll be right there. So with us this morning is Dean Riddell and Matt McLean. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, I've heard rumors you've been out on the lake.
I have a little bit, just a little bit.
Have you caught any great fish? You know, any great fishing stories?
That's not me. I'm not. I'm not known to be a fisherman.
Matt McLean, what about you?
Hey, Mark. No, not a fisherman at all.
Well, good. You're my people, because I'm not either.
I'll eat it, but I don't catch it.
I completely agree with that. Well, today we are talking about what happens, or what your options, if you come to the point as a homeowner and you're not able to pay. What happens? We're going to talk about what are your options as the homeowner, and then what happens to the house if that does occur. If payments stop, what occurs after the fact? So let's begin with the first part, Dean, over when somebody comes to that point and starts to think they may be struggling because of job change or different situations, what should they do?
You know, ironically, I had a phone call this past week with a past client of mine who just learned that he's losing his job effective month in July. The hard part in our world in mortgage lending is it's not like your one skip a pay a year that car financing options provide. So before you jump down the forbearance and different things that we're going to talk about this morning, you know, my thing to him was call our servicing operations. Be open, be honest, be transparent. Try to head and see what options are out there before you get behind.
Yeah.
In my experience, you know, in this industry, that's probably the biggest hurdle people don't want to do is address the situation until they're 3 months behind, 4 months behind. Then they raise a hand and say, I need help. So, in answer to your question, be open, honest, transparent, and say, what can we do? The options are limited in a mortgage lending environment unless it turns into a short sale modification, which we'll get into here in a little bit.
What's the biggest reasons that people stop making payments?
Yeah. Well, I want to interrupt here because I have 5 free lunches for anyone who calls in and can tell me a reason you would stop making house payments. So it's 840-1000, 405-840-1000, and just be a part of our conversation and tell us, why would you stop making house payments?
So let's go back then to, as wait on those answers for that, over. So it's being proactive versus reactive makes a huge difference.
And little simple things that he and I talked about this week, and I was grateful that he called, but it's a reminder, you can pay on the 29th of every month if that 30 days affords him a window without affecting your credit. You know, the part we all got to be sensitive to are the term forbearance and things like that, because that will turn into a 30-day late pay, a 60-day late pay. Now, you are talking about credit and the implications of credit, credit cards. I mean, it opens up a different can.
If you pay 20 days after the first. Mm-hmm. Say you pay on the 20th mm-hmm. of the month. Does that affect your credit?
No, not at all.
Does it affect your late payment penalty?
You get a late charge on the 16th. Yes.
So if you can pay on the by the 15th, it's going to save you money.
That is correct. Going to save you late charge.
But if you can pay all the way up to where they can receive it on the 29th, and you, it does not affect your credit.
Correct.
And that, for a temporary situation, you might keep that in mind. Do they ever forgive the late payment?
Very rarely.
It's written into the mortgage, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. So they, and it's usually, what, about 4% of the?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, 4% of the loan. So we're going to define forbearance later, but the government issued a forbearance invitation, basically, during COVID. Up until then, nobody had you had to ask for a forbearance, right? How do you ask for that?
Well, like Dean said, it is absolutely critical that, you know, when you know or you incur an issue, you have got to reach out to your servicer. And you'll have a couple of options, you know, via telephone perhaps, or going online. And you'll need to be prepared to be transparent. They're going to ask you questions in terms of your employment, in terms of your income, in terms of your assets. It's very similar to going back through an application process.
Okay, we got someone on the phone who's going to answer a question for us. Why would you quit making a mortgage payment?
We have Millie on the phone. Millie, thanks for calling in and being with us. Mike, I'm sorry, Mike.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike. What's a reason why somebody might stop making payments? Mike, you there? Do we lose you? Uh-oh. We lost Mike. Hey, we lost the mic on Mike.
Okay.
Sorry about that, Mike. Thanks
call
for
back,
calling.
Call back.
Call back in. We'll get you right back in. Mike Gannon will get you back in. It's the Mike Show all of a sudden.
There you go. It's always the Mike Show. So, yeah, we need to definitely show the love to Mike Gannon, because best producer in the
absolutely.
Metro.
So absolutely.
We appreciate him.
So right now, adjustable rate mortgages, are those going up? So I remember when I first started purchasing a home, and I got to that level of I could purchase, that was the big thing to do, was because the rates were low and all of a sudden,
extremely popular.
Right. And then there was this big wave of people where the rates went up and then they couldn't pay.
Right.
I haven't heard much of that right now.
Yeah, we're not seeing a lot of adjustable rate mortgages, primarily because the interest rates aren't very competitive. It's an issue with the secondary market and the value of an adjustable rate mortgage, and we're not seeing them today.
Okay, great. I think we got Mike back on the phone. Are you with us again, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for calling back in. So go ahead, and what's a reason why someone might stop making a payment?
Divorce.
Dum, dum, dum. I feel like I need to do that after that. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, divorce certainly is a reason. Dean, what typically happens? We only got about 30 seconds here.
Well, and it's one of those, I got that phone call this week as well. So in a divorce situation, typically, you got that divorce decree that's going to specify who's going to retain the property, who's going to possibly once off that note or that liability. So they're turning it into a refinance situation potentially, or yeah. Maybe obviously probably the best thing to do in some of those is to give you guys a call and say, I'm getting a divorce. How can I head this thing off? And in reality, it's probably selling the house. Is the best thing to do.
Yeah. That's it. Mike, thanks so much for calling in. Hang on the line. We're going to have a free lunch from Casa Perico Mexican Grill. And when we come back, we'll be talking about what you can do and your options right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Here with Becky Ivins and our money men, Dean Riddell and Matt McLean, and talking about what happens before and after payments stop being made on a home.
Well, a mortgage, first of all, you sign saying you're going to make your payments on time. So we're talking about, well, what happens when you don't? And what are the reasons you would quit making mortgage payments? So if you have a reason, we've kind of covered loss of a job and divorce. So
you can give us a call at 840-1000. That's 840-1000. Just join in with the conversation we're having with us.
We have a free lunch.
And you get a free lunch from Casa Perico.
Yeah. So, okay. So what does happen when you stop making a mortgage payment?
Yeah. So we talked about step one is to contact your servicer being the company that you're making your payments to. Be prepared to discuss, be transparent, share the situation. Is it short term? Is it long term?
Who do you ask to talk to? Because the person answering the phone might not be your best person.
Yeah, you'll go through a customer service number and you'll be given options, but you need to get to a department. They're often referred to as loss mitigation, default management. It will be someone in the collection department, most likely.
If you don't call them, I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate here. If you don't call and tell them that you're going to be missing your payment, doesn't it take a little bit longer for them to kick you out of your house?
Yeah, it does. And the likelihood, if you're not calling them, they're calling you and trying to engage that discussion and that conversation. Listen, Dean and I, we talked about this. Nobody wins in this situation. Certainly the client, the customer, the lender doesn't win if you wind up in some sort of litigation or foreclosure or bankruptcy and then foreclosure. So it's in everyone's best interest that you talk about it and discuss options.
I think that's one of the misperceptions out there is that lenders love foreclosure. You know, like it's some kind of grand, they get to resell the house, but it's not a win.
No, it's not. Know?
So we have Julie. Julie's on the line with us. Thanks for calling in, Julie. You have a reason why someone stopped making payments on their home?
Yes, if they could have health issues that could cause them to lose their job or increase their medical debt.
That's a really good one. Yeah.
Boy, I'm glad you tuned in today.
Yeah.
Medical is a real situation. Maybe you've got a job, but you can't do your job because of a medical issue, right?
That's right. Julie, hang on the line. We'll be getting your information and send you a free lunch from Casa Perico. This is one that's personal for me because I had this happen to me because I had a type A aortic dissection that just ruptured this was about 7 years ago. And I had, at that point in time, I had to restructure my payment in order to be able to make payments because I didn't know it was coming, happened, and took me out for some time.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon, but if somebody has a medical, is it the same procedure? Because usually it's a family member who's calling, and what happens at that point in time?
Yeah, and Mark, that's tough because the unfortunate part in our world is when you are being open, honest, transparent, the common phrase in the 80s, 90s in our servicing days were, "We can't help you. Your loan's not in default."
Yeah,
that's so frustrating.
It was so common, so frequent. So I still think, I think about your situation or your question. If a family member calls in, what's the standard response the servicer's going to tell them? We can't help you.
We can't help you.
You're not on the loan.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some dialogue. There's got to be some. I don't know if it's the attorney direction, but that lender is not going to be open to discuss anything outside of yourself.
But that what they do have a standard letter is what I have found that is their power of attorney.
Right.
That the either the court appoints someone to be your power of attorney if you're incapacitated and actually can't participate in this, or you elect to give someone power of attorney.
Right.
Like if someone had a traumatic brain injury, they might not be able to talk to their lender, but they could sign
via
a document for the realtor to talk to the lender and involve the lender in, well, we've got the house listed. That's, I don't think I've ever called a lender and said those words, we've got the house listed, without the whoever's on the other end of the phone going, good. Because it's just a sigh of relief that the homeowner is taking action to remedy their unfortunate situation. Right.
You know, it's funny. I what came back to me, Dean, on that is I had to miss a payment in order for action to be done.
Right.
It was, I'd forgotten about that. Yep. It's been a little while back, and I'm thankful that it has been a little while back. But it's, that's a, just a strange, you know, hopefully nobody goes through it. But if you do, it's great for a family member to know their options.
So, and you made a comment on, you know, the loan being restructured. Some of that, you know, we talk about when we come to the show is, what kind of loan do you have? Because if it's a government loan, there is no restructuring. If it's a conventional loan, you have the ability, if you're in default, let's reamortize and defer those three payments, those six payments, you know, to the end of the loan. But it gets dicey based on loan type.
Yeah, and that's what they did for us on that. It was before I knew you. It was but it was they restructured and put it at the end with it. But on government, you don't have those options.
Right.
Yeah. We have Martha on the line with us. Martha, thanks for calling in.
Sure. Unfortunately, identity theft can wipe out your bank account. Try explaining that to the mortgage folks.
So identity theft. Thanks, Martha, for calling in. Hang on the line. We'll have a free lunch for you with it. Have you guys seen this one with identity theft? Has involved, I think, is probably more rare of the cases.
Yeah, not on this end of it, on the forbearance end or the loss mitigation end. Occasionally we have it on the origination side.
Yeah.
Do you know that there are free things you can do on your credit report? I know that I can't even remember what the name of it is right now, but there is a notification service through, I think it's TransUnion or Equifax, or one of the things that will tell you someone just checked your credit. And I like that because it's happened twice that someone has checked my credit. I called and checked out, and someone else had applied for a credit card using my information. And that, so far, nobody's emptied the bank account. Maybe it's not too tempting. I don't know. But that could cause you not to have the money to make your payment.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of things that do.
Yeah. And I have the same experience as one of the other credit that they have. I have a notification on that.
Do you have a freeze on your credit?
I don't have a freeze on the credit.
I do have a freeze on my credit. And I had to unfreeze it. I thought, well, I'm not going to borrow any more money ever. And then I start building a $4 million building and go, well, I don't have that cash. So I applied for credit and I had to unfreeze my credit for them to actually look at it. And that'll keep my credit going for a while because I have no mortgage at this point. And you end up with a no credit score if you don't use your credit.
Right.
So we're talking different reasons, and you guys are compassionate, loving people, and you're welcome anyone to come in and talk in any situation, but for the lender who's lending the money, does the reason matter that they've stopped making their payment?
Well, you got this in a lender capacity. SWBC is a servicer.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Right.
So we're servicing that loan typically on behalf of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, who owns that loan. So our decision making literally has to fall in line a little bit with what's justifiable in Fannie Mae's eyes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we bring up, and I had a story years ago, lost his job. It was terrible. Matt touched on it. We need financials. We may pull credit. We take a look at their income. We look at their tax returns. You know, and the guy had $500,000 in a 401k. Those situations, the lender is more apt to say, you need to go there.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but that's the rules we have today.
And this is one of the reasons why a local lender like SWBC matters. Yeah. It matters. We'll be back with more here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins. And we're talking with Dean Riddell and Matt McLean, our money men from SWBC Mortgage. And if you'd like to call in and join the conversations, we're looking for more reasons why people stop making their house payments. And by doing so, by calling in, we're going to give you a free lunch to Casa Perica. But it's time for our word of the day. Word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Forbearance.
Forbearance.
Well, what
that sounds like a, happy word, but it's not really, right? It's like...
Well, the literal meaning of forbearance is holding back.
Oh, well, maybe it could be a happy word.
Well, the mortgage company holds back on the foreclosure.
Oh, it is a happy word.
So, yeah. So the context, you know, special agreement between the lender and the borrower to delay foreclosure. So forbearance, how do you get that? You don't want your house to be foreclosed upon.
I think it gets back to the open, honesty, transparency. We talked at break about, you know, where did forbearance go through COVID? So prior to COVID,
you had to ask for it.
You had to ask for it.
And then at COVID, the first time that the government or anybody else issued a blanket, we will put your loan in forbearance, meaning you don't have to make payments and we will not foreclose, right?
That's correct.
And then we ended up having a client who did the responsible thing, which was to put their house on the market because one of them lost their job at COVID and the other one could still work, but they knew they were not going to last very long. They had a little bit of savings, but not all that much. So they took their large family to a tiny house, not a true tiny home, but it was less than half the size of their home that we sold right for them. And they had been in forbearance and paid off their home loan when we sold the house, but then did not qualify for the new house because they had been in forbearance. And CAVRS, is that the name of the, there's a database out there that will identify you as if you are in CAVRS as not making your payments, you can't get a new loan. I called and I had made contact with I forgot what his title was, but someone at HUD, mm-hmm. and I said, hey, they've got to get this loan. And he said, well, I can remove them from CAVRS because they paid as agreed because we agreed to put their loan in forbearance. And that still didn't work with getting them a mortgage. So I talked to the policy, special policy advisor up at HUD, and he says, I said, my people will not be the only ones. There have to be tens of thousands of people in this situation. And he said, oh, yes, there's over 100,000 people in this situation. And the fact is, they couldn't do it without reprogramming CAVRS, which they did. And I talked to them and I said, hey, you've got to have a government issued forbearance on this. You've got to recode this so that people can get their loan. And before, they had to wait to where they made 12 months consecutive payments to get a new loan. That was changed to 4 months, so they luckily were purchasing a vacant home and the lady rented to them, so they had a place to go with their German Shepherd and five children. But forbearance is not a get-out-of-jail-free card, right?
No, you're exactly right. It looks really good on the surface, but you need to clearly understand what you're getting into. Those missed payments, your forbearance amount does not go away. It will have to be resolved in some manner. You're right. It is not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
So how do you know what your forbearance terms are? Are they all the same?
Not all the same, because the forbearance plans may be different, but you're going to sign a formal agreement. So you'll have a clear understanding. It will be in that agreement of what your plan consists of.
Okay. So that it can be different. When do you have to pay the money back? Rumor mill has it that once you get out of forbearance, you have to immediately pay all the back payments.
Yeah, that's right. That will be the first step with your servicer, is once your plan ends, and if you haven't been making payments, they're going to ask you to pay that full amount of forbearance at the end of your forbearance plan. It could be a significant amount of money.
I would say that less than 1% of the people in forbearance are going to be able to pay all of their back payments.
Just intuitively, yeah, you're right.
So that's when you get to the loan modification, right?
It is. And as Dean mentioned, you know, it typically, or certainly what we experienced, is that amount of money that had been forgiven is added on to the back of the loan in, you know, some sort of note agreement. So you'll wind up paying that, maybe not at the end of your term, but if you were to sell or refinance, then that debt is paid.
Rumor mill also has it that they've come up with a 40-year mortgage for the forbearance loan. The loans who've been in forbearance, in order for the people to afford to make the payment, that they've extended as much as 10 years onto the mortgage.
Dean?
I think some of that's going to get into loan type, and I think on your conventional loan, that may be an option. I mean, I've seen that same rumor. On your government loans, I don't see that happening. But on the government loan side, we have had cases where the servicer will file a FHA claim, and there will be what's called a partial claim to pay that 8 months of payments in default.
So it doesn't have to go into foreclosure in order to file a claim?
It does not have to.
Now, when you guys get an FHA mortgage, you get what's called mortgage insurance protection, MIP. In the conventional loan, that's PMI, private mortgage insurance, right?
Right.
That's an insurance policy that the borrower pays the premium on, and it protects the lender against the borrower's default.
Right.
So when you end up filing a claim. I was totally unaware you could file a partial claim. Yep. Is that kind of new?
No. Oh. It's been out there. And it's the same thing Matt touched on earlier, is that you have to ask for, you know, in a loss mitigation environment, it's in that modification family of default management. Based on situation, the servicer can file a partial claim with FHA to bring back the arrearage, to bring it current.
Does that mean that the borrower doesn't have to pay it then?
Does not have to pay it then.
Whoa, that's awesome.
If we in turn have to foreclose 6, 7, 8 years down the road, that partial claim comes into play because a claim has already been partially paid for what would go back.
Is it 20% of the value of the house is what you can recover up to that much?
Well, it's a formula within FHA's strategy or model that you take that acquisition cost plus unpaid accrued interest.
Oh, wow.
There's a formula to that. But that and that's the one piece. I had this phone call 2 weeks ago. FHA loan, you're going to get this property back. SWBC doesn't get that property back if it's an FHA loan.
Right. HUD gets that property back.
Right.
It's a VA loan, VA gets
Absolutely.
It back. Absolutely. So they have their own separate foreclosed property.
We're in that.
Here's another question, though. If on the forbearance, if when you renegotiate that loan, do you renegotiate it at the same rate the loan was initially or the same interest rate, or can the lender go up on the interest rate at that point?
Yeah, I think, and the answer is no. You're renegotiating at your current interest rate.
Well, then you definitely, dear listener,
yeah,
pay attention, because interest rates have gone up double what they were.
Yes.
So if you're in that loss mitigation thing, you need to definitely talk to your lender and see if you can modify your loan at the current interest rate, because you certainly cannot sell your home and go purchase one anywhere close to those same payments.
Right. That's exactly right.
And you may be listening to this and be thinking, wow, I have a cousin, friend, uncle, nephew, neighbor who really needs to hear this. We will upload it on Monday into podcast form. You can go on to BeckyIvins.com, click on radio. You'll see the sources there. Or you can go to Spotify or iTunes or anywhere else and subscribe.
Yeah, and Mark, I wanted to clarify, Becky's comment was, so you don't have to pay back on that FHA. You'll pay it back when you sell your house.
Mm.
You're not making payments today, you know, a payment.
So it's kind
and a half,
of like a lien
payments.
That's put.
It's almost a silent second that's hanging out there until that home is sold.
Yeah.
Or if they refinance, we're going to capture that partial claim payment too.
Man, that is great information to have out there. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. We'll be right back with more here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking with Dean Riddell and Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage, and it's time for our Smoking Hot Deals.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our Smoking Hot Deals brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian, and soon on Main Street in Yukon.
There you go. I mean, I love that. We're going to have a nice little party there when they open. Should be the end of August.
It should be. So our Smoking Hot Deal is 5913 Tiffany Circle.
Tiffany Circle is in Windsor Lakes edition. Windsor Lakes is sort of like at about 82nd or 83rd in MacArthur. So it's right north of Daniel's Shoes, basically, that's over on MacArthur. And this particular property backs up to water.
Oh, the backyard is gorgeous.
It's a terraced backyard, a large backyard.
It is.
And it's got, how many bedrooms, Mark?
It has, it's actually, it's a 5-bedroom home with 2.5 baths.
So, but all the bedrooms are upstairs.
They're upstairs. Yep.
And it is listed at $245,000.
Yeah.
And it's like 2,100 square feet.
Yeah. It's in great shape. Yeah. It really is.
So that went on the market late yesterday, or it might go on today.
Mm-hmm.
So do know it's out there, $245,000. That's our smoking hot deal.
If that's ringing a bell for you, you can give us a call at the office at 722-3232. We would love to show it to you. Or you can go to BeckyIvins.com, look on listings, and you can see it right there and take a virtual tour for yourself. So we have Freddie is on the line. Freddie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Great. Thanks for joining us. What's another reason that someone stops making their payments?
Death. When my daughter, my 24-year-old daughter and her husband were murdered in 2002, we weren't on the lease and on the loan. We could not get anyone to talk to us because we weren't on the loan. And so it went into repossession and through the whole process. It was devastating for us because she lived right next door. So,
oh my gosh, I am so sorry, Freddie. That's a terrible but true story.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that it is very difficult to get a lender to talk to you. They will not talk to you if you are not the person who borrowed the money. Is there a way around that?
Well, you mentioned power of attorney or some sort of legal instrument that would give permission to that family member. But yeah, it's an issue.
I recently sold a house, and Freddie, hang on, because Mike Gannon's going to get your information. And it was a short sale.
Yeah.
And I had the hardest time getting the mortgage company to cooperate on a short sale on a loan that was a reverse mortgage. Mm. And I'm going, first of all, you can just walk away and let them have the house. But the thing is, who wants to do that to their neighbors, you know? So I had a really good trustee, the daughter, but they had a hard time, had to go to court to get permission to talk to the lender. And I'm talking to the lender. They gave me permission to talk to the lender in writing. And I said, your borrower is deceased. Why are you not doing a short sale? And it took about 6 months, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Now, it was not SWBC. But it was very frustrating. So I get Freddie's frustration with that, and especially with the loss of her daughter and son-in-law.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I can't imagine.
Freddie, thanks for calling in. And this kind of brings to what Becky and I really, why we are in the real estate business. It's really a people business. You jump into people's lives in good things, in bad things, in things that are sideways. Mm-hmm. In wonderful moments and in tragic moments. It's really the thing that we enjoy with real estate is you're helping people.
Yeah. Man, if anyone out there is having issues with this, feel free to call me.
Yeah.
Because I know my way around a little bit, probably better than you do, since I've done this a few times. And I will help you try to get to that lender. You have to know a lot of information. And in order to get on a repayment plan, you're going to have to submit financials, and you have to submit them pretty often. And that's so. How do you start a repayment plan, Matt?
Again, it's either one, calling your servicer and establishing that dialogue, or like with SWBC, we actually have on our website a link to initiating, you know, this dialogue, and it involves communicating your issue, and then we mail out a packet to our clients that involves gathering that detailed information.
And that seems to rub the borrower the wrong direction, because previously in their lives, they have been in good enough financial condition to get a mortgage, right? And to do pretty much what they want to. And all of a sudden, it's the shame game. Mm-hmm. And they feel inadequate, trapped, and hostile. And then some mortgage servicers are not friendly.
Right.
And try to layer on that guilt and shame to the borrower. So you need to know what your options are. There's a lot more to discuss on this particular subject. And we're going to ask you to come back next week, Matt.
Good.
And talk to us again.
Good.
Dean, we're going to ask that you go to the lake next weekend.
I can do that.
Okay.
Well, we can tell that this kind of has touched a nerve out there, and it's something that, you know, those who have dealt with in the past, I mean, it sticks with them.
It's real.
Yeah. So when someone comes into you guys and is kind of gun-shy because they've been through this, how do you help them?
Well, like Dean said, we will just sit down and we'll discuss their situation and give them our advice. I think you guys know this, but you know, this is where Dean and I started, was back in servicing, started our careers. So we've been there and done it. And, just coach them through.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can mitigate that guilt.
Well, and
feeling.
Next week when we talk about this, we're going to talk about things like the IRS and how when you have a short sale, how you possibly will get an IRS 1099 mm-hmm. and have to claim the forgiven amount for as income. So talk about adding insult to injury, right?
Yeah.
Because your house gets foreclosed. And we'll also be talking about what happens when you're ready to buy another house. How long do you have to wait after a foreclosure, after a bankruptcy, on the different types of loans? We've got a lot to cover still yet on this subject.
There's a lot there. But speaking to what Becky said about, like, the guilt of it is real. Because I remember when I had to do a loan modification, you know, I was out dealing with medical stuff. And the decisions were being made, and I was told I've never missed a payment in my life. And I was told you have to miss a payment in order to get relief. And I had a hard time with that. And I wish I had had SWBC on my side on that moment. Somebody that I knew I could call local and be with. Thanks, Dean Riddell, Matt McLean. If you want to get a hold of them, go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's favorites. You'll see them right there. Thanks for being with us. Been a great day with you here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.